Lord, take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and think through them. Take our heart and set them on fire with love for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Think of the last time. Remember with me, if you would, the last time you used the word love. There is so much good in the world to love. Did you use the word love in reference to a dessert? Or maybe you used it in terms of something you saw, like, I just love the way that room was decorated, or how the tulips bring us color in late winter and early spring. Or maybe you loved the place you went, like a favorite museum. Perhaps you used it in terms of an activity, like I love going to the movies or going shopping or going for a hike now that the weather is beautiful. Love is such a wonderful thing. And in English, we use one word that describes a love of activity, of things, of items, and of people. The Greek offers us many different words for love. Whether it's eros for romantic love, phileo for brotherly love, ethumopeo for fondness love, but even in Greek there's an overlap. They aren't as clean-cut and decisive as one would suppose. For the agape love, associated with God's love, is also used in 2 Timothy 4:10, where Demas has left Paul. Paul is clearly irritated because he says, Demas has left me, having loved this present world. That isn't the kind of agape love when we think of agape love, is it? Latin uses caritas, English, for charity. But charity has moved from love in our usual conversations to mean something more like philanthropy or donations. So we go back to love. In this gospel passage, the word love is from the agape form, meaning love that is free from desire and is associated with the character of God. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you the same way. Abide in my love. This is a love we don't have to manufacture. It's a love we get to remain in if we so choose. It comes not from another's personality or our own abilities or our commonalities. It comes from what we have already received from God. It is not transactional, and it is not based on mutual agreement. It comes from the fountain within. No outside force can regulate or dominate it. It is a love so strong that it will not tolerate abuse because one is aware of its value. It is a love that makes a choice if, when, and how to sacrifice, following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who chose to yield his will to the will of God, according to God's plan, not according to the will of any human being or evil force. This place of love is a place of great joy as we sense the flow of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, moving from us out toward others to meet their needs. Jesus said, I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. It's not a suggestion. It's not even a really great idea. It's a command. It's not optional if we choose to walk with Jesus. Now, I know you know, as I do, that some people are so easy to love, like my grandson. I just look at his picture every day and my heart melts and it overflows with love for him. Because I'm so far away, he requires nothing of me. Those are the easiest people to love. Some of those people are in our families and circles of friends, all easy to love. But there are others in our circles that are not so easy to love. And our love is challenged when others are misunderstood or where we feel we have been misunderstood or when we have failed or they have failed us. But still, it isn't the suggestion that we love. We are still commanded to love each other. And Jesus knew that it would take more than we could do on our own. So he demonstrated that in loving so purely and deeply. We have an example and a source of love that is not dependent on ourselves. It grows and matures as we follow his commandments and not the selfish and petty ways of the world. Let's face it, as wonderful as each one of us are, we are just not everybody's cup of tea. In fact, there are people in this world who are even like coffee to me. But we still get to love each other and grow stronger and loving each other and try to understand one another. I may not like the flavor of coffee. In fact, I detest it. But I love its rich, fragrant aroma. And likewise, we can all find something to love and enjoy about each other. Then Jesus goes on to say, "No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friend." I grew up that you never question scripture, but this always puzzled me because I thought, I don't think that's the greatest love. I always heard that part of scripture standing alone, and I thought, well, I don't quite think so. I grew up next to the firehouse, and for me, greater love was for a person to give up their life for a stranger, like a firefighter who enters a building to rescue a child, or someone who sees another person in danger and puts themselves in harm's way. But I have come to realize that that is not a statement of truth for the whole world every day, that that's the way the world works. That this is the full and final definition of what love looks like? No. No, in this passage, this is part of Jesus' final words to his disciples. When he says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for a friend," he is saying that I have deep love for you, my friends, not only as disciples. And in that context, it makes more sense, as I would say to someone, "I would lay down my life for you. That's how great my love is." This is part of Jesus' long conversation with his disciples before he completes his earthly ministry. And he takes his words to an even greater level when he says, "I have called you friends." There's an African proverb that says, "A friend is someone you share the path with." And Jesus is preparing them for the path that they are going to take. He is going to take it first, but as tradition has told us, they will walk that same path also. It is unlikely that we will ever be called to lay down our lives for another, but we can live out our lives for and with each other. How beautiful it is to see so many people in various ministries working together, seeing the fruit of their ministry everywhere we look, inside and outside of the church walls. This is the love that God has so lavishly and unselfishly poured out upon us and within us that empowers us to see the good in each other, to hear the needs of each other, and to do our best to meet them, for sharing with each other what our needs are so that others can assist us. Jesus calls us his friends, and that we are to love from the overflowing, never-ending source of love that he has given us. May God give us the grace, the power, and the willingness to do just that. Amen.